tonight, I believe we are stepping into our destiny, and it's going to happen in a number of ways. It happens individually. That is our own personal lives. It happens in our families. It happens in this church. And one of the things that I feel so strongly about, and my wife and I were talking about this last night, and I don't know how this happens, but I also believe that as Miracle Life takes its place in its destiny, so does the nation. So does the nation. We are to influence. But guess what? We have to be the salt. We have to be the light. And as God makes us saltier and more light, then there is a ripple effect that goes out into our city and goes out into our nation. Amen? All right. So one of the ways that this is going to happen is that we depend upon the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14. And we've been looking about the wonderful work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And we're seeing what Jesus said he would be to us. And what the Word of God promises who the Holy Spirit is. And again, this is not just a study for information, but this is a study so that we can experience who the Holy Spirit wants to be in our life. All right? Because the part of God that you don't understand is the part of God you are not experiencing today. All right? And so the more we understand about him, the more we will look to him to be that person in our life. And again, some people have only relegated the Holy Spirit to just a small area of life, kind of like for emergencies. You know, he comes and, you know, fix this or make me happy. And, you know, now that the song service is over, well, I guess we don't need the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit is a vital part of every breath that we take. And we're going to see another important part of who he is in our life. John 14, and this is the text that we've been looking at every week. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So God says that we need a helper. All right? Why do we need a helper? Anyone? Because we're inadequate. We don't have enough. We need a helper. Tell your neighbor, "I think God's talking about you." I would say, turn to your neighbor and say, "You are inadequate," but that's probably not the best thing to say. But the fact is, we are. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And he is our helper and will be our helper. Last week we saw, we looked at that phrase that he is the Spirit of truth, that he brings truth into our life about God and about us. All right. And so when we see the truth and when light comes, sometimes it's a bit disconcerting, because one of the tendencies that we have as human beings is to be self-deceived. And what that means is that we are not fully aware of what's going on. All right. And so we need the truth to come in to turn the light on in our life. All right. So when we have the light, when we realize that change needs to take place, then how do we go about that change? What is that process? Does the Holy Spirit only bring the light and then leave the change kind of up to us? We're now expected to do that. Or is he also a part of that process? Now, what I think sometimes we do as human beings is that when there's need for change, we kind of quickly rely on self-determination. That, you know, and how many of you, it's beginning of February, but how many of your New Year's resolutions are already not looking so new? All right? You did real well at the gym the first few weeks of January. Somebody I saw on Facebook, they were determined to use less sugar in their tea. All right? Maybe, I don't know if that's still happening in your life. I don't know. But the tendency is, I've got this. I can do this. I remember there was a time in my life where someone had gone through a horrible, horrible family mess up. And they had really, and this was the husband, and they had done something very, very wrong, and it looked like the family was going to be destroyed. And I was with that person, and they said, "Walker, I tell you what, I just realized I need to try harder." And the Spirit of the Lord just rose up on the inside of me, and I thought, well, should I, because he's really broken, he's really messed up, and I thought, well, I don't want to insult him. And the Holy Spirit, you said, you better tell him. And I just said, you know, here's what I feel from the Lord. If you try harder, you're going to mess up again. It's not about you trying harder. It's about getting the help of God in your life. And I certainly didn't do it for him, but he did. He got a hold of God, and that life, that family is so blessed now and so transformed because he looked to the helper. We see, if we were the helper, then we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit in our life. So we depend upon him. Now, I want you to see a wonderful verse today in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is going to help us to set kind of the framework of another aspect of who the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life today and every day of your life. Now, Paul was talking about how that under the law, the children of Israel were not able to even see the glory of God that was on Moses. And so they had to put a veil over Moses because they couldn't handle the light. Okay. Now, thank God we've been brought into the new covenant where there is light and we have the glory of Jesus. All right. And so he's kind of summarizing that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." And what's the image? The image is Jesus. So we're being transformed into that image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into the image of Jesus by the Spirit of God. So one of the great jobs that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is that you would being transformed. That is an ongoing process. That is something that is happening, and that is something that is going to be happening. All right? It's present tense and it is future tense. New Living Translation says it this way: "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." As we are changed. The J.B. Phillips translation says, "We are transfigured by the Spirit of the Lord in ever-increasing splendor." All right? So we sang this, taking steps towards our destiny. Well, one of the greatest destinies that God has for your life is not just to take you to Australia or make you an MD, but it's to make you like Jesus. That's the destiny, all right? And he said that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the destination. That's where he wants to take us. Who is going to get us there? Not you. Not your pastor. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who will transfigure you, who will change you, who will transform you. That's the one we must rely on. He is the one that we must look to. All right, now, it is important that we realize that the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing process. All right, that is, it's not done yet. It's not done yet. I heard a wonderful sermon, and this guy was talking about change, and he said, "I was doing a lot of traveling, and he said, I was getting fat." He said, "I didn't want to be fat. I was staying up too late. I was eating the wrong foods." And so he said, "I realized that I probably am not going to make this on my own." He said, "So I hired a personal trainer." And so the trainer, it was kind of borrowing someone else's discipline, right? You don't want to go to the gym, but you know they're going to be at the gym. You've already paid them, so you go anyway. All right? So he said, I was going to the gym with the trainer, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks into this process, and he said, and things were going good. He felt better. He was starting to lose some weight. And he told the trainer, he said, I'm sorry. It's been too long now. He says, we forgot to take the before picture. You know, before, after, you know. He said, we forgot to take the before picture. And the trainer said, don't worry. We can still take the before picture. There had been some change, but there was change still yet to be done. You were not in the finished product yet. All right? So the fact is, in your life, thank God where you've come from. But guess what? You can still take the picture. The before. There is still significant transformation to be done. And this is an interesting thing, that what God does at redemption, and when we are born again, there is a huge change that takes place. I remember growing up in our church, we sang this kind of funny little chorus, and it said, there's been a big change in me. A big change in me. I am so happy. I am so free. He brought me out of bondage into liberty. Whoa, big change in me. You see why I'm not the worship leader. Okay. There's been a big change in me. Guess what, friends? There is still to be a big change in me. It has not yet finished happening. All right. Hebrews 10:14. In this one verse, it's so interesting that it figures out this. It shows this both process. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He has perfected, so it's a finished work. There has been a change in your life. You are born again. You're made righteous. You've been adopted. You've been accepted. You've been brought into the family of God. All right. He has perfected those who are being sanctified. Sanctification is an ongoing work. There was a, during the holiness movement of 150 years ago or so, there was, they would say that there would be a second work of grace. And if you got this touch, then you're sanctified once and for all. And there was, in a sense, no more sanctification necessary. Oh, how I wish that were true. It's not, but wouldn't that be great? If it was, there'd be a long line to make that happen in our life. We could just, no more growth needed. We got it. All right? No. The Holy Spirit has done something, and he is doing something. New Living Translation there, it says, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Being made. All right? That's this process of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:12. So Paul realized something has happened and something needs to happen. Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What Paul was saying is, he says, I know there is still growing up yet to be done. And that word perfected means that. It means to come to a place of maturity, of being that which was small has now come to an adult size, an adult quality. All right? Think about what God, what the Holy Spirit did for the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. All right? This was Peter, who had walked with Jesus, and he had done some many wonderful things. But how many of you know in the Gospels, Peter made a lot of mistakes? I mean, I don't know if we could count them, but probably more mistakes than good stuff. All right? And so he was getting rebuked by Jesus. He told Jesus at the end, he said, don't worry, Jesus, I won't leave you. Don't worry about me. I'm your guy. And Jesus said, Peter, before it's nighttime, you're going to deny me three times. Not once, three times. How many of you, that didn't bless Peter? And sure enough, he did it. All right. Jesus came and restored him. When Jesus died at the cross, Peter quit the ministry, went back to the fishing business. All right? But Jesus said, Peter, and some others, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait. Tarry in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. All right? And Peter stood up on that same day. This is a guy who days before, just a few days before, all right, not a year before, but just a few days before, was cursing Jesus publicly. Right? Cursing Jesus publicly. How many know that's not a real good thing for a bishop to do? Because Peter became the bishop, right? The head senior pastor guy. So he's gone from that to on the day of Pentecost, he stands up, preaches the first Pentecostal sermon, 3,000 people get saved in one day. More than we could fit in this room. Wow. Had the Holy Spirit changed Peter? Boy, what a big change in me. A big change in me. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. Made Peter into a different man. Well, was that the last change that the Holy Spirit was going to bring in Peter's life? No. Jesus had told Peter, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Peter had decided to only preach to Jews, people that he was accustomed to. I know you, you know me, we're a big, fat, happy family. All right? No. So he, all the way from Acts chapter 2, where he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and there was a big change, a big transformation, it took all the way to Acts chapter 10 for the Holy Spirit to work another change in his life, to where Peter was now preaching to a group of Gentiles, and he kind of started off the sermon. It was an interesting introduction, but he said, it is really weird for me to be talking to you. I don't normally hang out with Gentiles. How many of you know that that's not exactly the way to warm your audience to you, you know? Just so you know, I'm very uncomfortable right now. But thank God that while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on those people. They were born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized in water on the same day. So the Holy Spirit had done a wonderful work in the life of Peter in Acts chapter 2. But thank God there was more to be done in Acts chapter 10. And see, here's the thing in your life. When you met Jesus, when you came to him, there was a change. There was a transformation. Thank God for it. But you know what? You need to get to Acts chapter 10. You need to get to Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 30, 50. There's more in your life that God wants to be done. And see, here's the thing about Peter, really. He wasn't aware that he had this problem about Gentiles. And it took God to give him a vision that he even realized, oh, wow, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out to me. So there was light that came to him, but then there was power to transform. Amen. So God wants to, he has changed us, but there is more change to be done. I look at my life. I'm so glad you didn't know me before I knew Jesus. I was not a pleasant person at all. Not at all. Let's just say I had some issues with the workout. But thank God when I was 16 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And change began to take place in my life. And a new love for people and a new love for God. And so some things happened in my life. But you know what? And I thank for that. Thank God for that change. But as I look at back on age 16... oh, there was so much more change to be done in my life. So much more change. Now, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean the change is done. Thank you for not saying amen. But the fact is, you could have. And you know what? I look back on the last 18 months, and one of these days I'll preach about it or whatever, but there's been significant change in my life in the last 18 months, personal change. And it was one of those things, I didn't even know I needed to get to Acts chapter 10. I didn't even know, but the Holy Spirit brought light, the Holy Spirit brought power, the Holy Spirit brought transformation. But here's what I have to realize right now. He's not done yet. there's the next chapter. There's more growth. There's more light. There's more transformation that needs to come into my life. So when we realize who he is, that this transformation is by the Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's by the Spirit of God, then we must look to him to be that person in our life. All right. Again, the tendency is to rely on him for big stuff. Salvation, going to heaven, maybe a few miracles here and there between those two events. But kind of in between, it's like, well, God, I've got this. I can sort this out in my life. The fact is, you can't. Galatians 3:3, and this was strong language that Paul was using. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So you began this process, Galatians, in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Are you now trying, it's that same word, perfected, to be made mature? Are you trying to now mature yourself with the flesh, that is, with self-effort? Is that what you're trying to do? New Living Translation says, are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Your own human effort. You see, the law, the Bible says, was our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. All right. What was the lesson, one of the main lessons that the schoolmaster taught us, the law? It was that God had a high standard and you couldn't meet it. That was one of the major lessons that schoolmaster was trying to tell us. We can't be good enough for God. We can't change ourselves to make him to where we're supposed to be. All right. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? And how many of you know, since Jeremiah wrote that, it seems like the Ethiopian has figured out how to change his skin. Huh? People who don't think they're dark enough, they spray stuff on them and they turn orange. Other people buy lightning cream, all right? But how many of you know the leopard still hasn't figured out how to change his spots, all right? But the fact is, you're not supposed to, all right? We can't change ourselves. We don't have that ability. Can humans do it in human effort? No. That's why we need God. You must be convinced that the path to Christian maturity is by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit and not through self-effort. You must be convinced of that. And I hope you've lived long enough. I hope you've been frustrated long enough to realize that you can't make that change by yourself. All right. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. All right. In some Bibles, it's the capital S, Holy Spirit. Others would say it's the human spirit. All right. But even if it's the human spirit, it's the grace of God, the power of the Holy Ghost working in us that creates love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things don't happen through human effort. Okay? So how does this happen? All right? How does this change, this transformation happen? Look at Hebrews, or actually I just refer to it. Hebrews 10:29. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of grace. He is referred to as the Spirit of grace. All right? Now, the grace of God is God's power and ability that makes you and enables you to be and to do what you cannot do on your own. That's the grace of God. The grace of God is not God's leniency to leave you where you are. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God is his ability. It's an empowerment to change you. And he is the Spirit of grace. So when we see the Word of God talking about the grace of God, the power of God towards us, that is the Holy Spirit. That's part of his work in our life. All right. So what that means is that we have to look to the helper to change. We have to look to his grace. All right. Paul knew this. And I believe it was one of the greatest secrets that kept him moving on in his life. Philippians 1:6. Go ahead, turn there. Philippians 1:6. Remember we said He has changed us and He is changing us. And He wants to change us more. All right? So Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Paul, he was confident in something. He said, I'm confident of this very thing. That He who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. Same word. Bring it to perfection. Bring it to maturity. Okay? And Paul says, I am confident of this. I am confident. He, the Holy Spirit, who brought regeneration, who brought washing and forgiveness to your life when you were born again, I am confident that He who began this work, He will complete it. He will complete it. All right? So, why should we look to the Holy Spirit? Why should we allow Him to be the helper? The fact is because He's better at that than us. All right? And so, you know, in our life, we always, we have a tendency to look to the person or the people that we know that can help us, right? To the one who's better, right? How many of you know it's good, you know, on a football team, you don't take the shortest guy and put him in the goal, right? And he can't even jump to the top of the crossbar, you know? No, he's not going to be the one best to help stop the goals. All right, but at the same time, the big clunky guy that's behind the goal, he's going to be a horrible left winger. Because he can't run very fast. All right, so we look to the one who can bring the help. All right, so we're not going to change ourselves. We've already shown that. But we look to the one who can and who will. Now, here's the thing. He's better at us. He knows what's going on in your life. Here's the other thing. He knows why you are the way you are. Have you ever been around somebody with problems? And you're like, well, yeah, at breakfast this morning, Pastor. And maybe, you know, as maybe you get around some people and you just think, well, let's bring up Sally's problems. And someone says, you know, I believe Sally is that way because of this. Another one has another theory. I don't think so. I think it's because of this. And you all have these different theories about why she is the way she is. Well, here's the thing. Sally might not even know the way she is. But you know who does? The Holy Spirit. He's God. Everything is open with Him. And He knows exactly what's going on. You see, we go to a doctor because we believe the doctor can help diagnose our symptoms. See, we just know we hurt. We know there's a fever. But how many of you know there's 1,000 things that will cause a fever? We go to the one who can bring help. All right? And so, as a patient, we know the symptoms, we go to the doctor. But we trust Him because we figure He went to school longer than we did in medicine. And so we go to Him. So He's going to do the diagnosis. He's going to figure out maybe what's wrong, how it happened. And then He's going to also give the solution. How many of you know a diagnosis without the solution? Nothing has changed yet. You're just simply aware. All right? No, you need to have the solution. So the Holy Spirit in our life, so the areas where we need to grow, the areas where there might be pain or frustration, not only does He know how they got there, He knows how to get them out. He is the solution. He is the doctor. He is the medicine. All at the same time. All right? Now, some of you know months and months ago, my wife ripped ligaments in her ankle. All right, she tore them. It was horrible. And for the first week, she didn't know exactly what it was. She knew something was wrong. She thought, well, maybe it's this, that, the other. But then she went, saw a good doctor, and he told her. But then now the treatment began. The treatment began. Okay, so she began to go to this therapist, and the therapist said, well, it would be really good every night because it would swell up. gave her this oil. Every night, get your husband to rub your ankle and your foot. So, that's what I've been doing every night. All right. Now, what would happen if, let's say, at church, all right, and actually here, where's Jacob? Jacob here. You broke something, didn't you? All right. You actually broke your foot. All right. And so he comes in. This happened before my wife. But so he comes into church and he's got this big boot on and everything. And I see, oh man, you messed up your ankle. Yeah, Pastor. I said, all right, here's what you need to do. Ida, come here. Not literally. Thank you for offering. And I said, Ida, here's what you do. Here's this oil. It worked great for my wife. Every night, rub your husband's ankle. And it's just he's going to sleep. No. It's not the same thing. She tore ligaments. He broke bones. And if she rubbed his ankle, the bones are going to be worse. But see, that's what we do to each other sometimes. You know, we had a problem in our life. And so we find a friend and we're like, oh, let me tell you my testimony. I read these three books, got hands laid on me, fell down, came up, and oh man, it's all better. So you do the same thing because you want change, you want results. And then you get disappointed with God because you're not following the Holy Spirit, you're just following somebody's testimony. And really what this is like is you going into someone else's medicine cabinet and taking their pills. Oh, I like the blue ones. They look good. I think they'll help me. No, they might not help you. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to the Holy Spirit. Let Him do a work in your life. And when change is needed and when change is necessary, and that's like every day, go to Him. Look to Him. He already knows the problem. You know, sometimes with the doctor, you need an MRI and a CAT scan and a specialist and fly around the world, right? Because they have human limitations. The Holy Spirit has no limitations. If you need a change in your life, if you need to be a change in a relationship or a change as a husband or a wife or handling your money or whatever that change needs to be, transformation, a habit, maybe there's a temper. In Galatians 5, it listed the fruit of the Spirit, but just before that was the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and they're ugly. And there might be a few of those in your life, all right? The Holy Spirit knows how to help. He knows how to transform. All right, now, when we do this, we're going to grow up into Jesus. Ephesians 4:15 says that we would grow up into Him who is the head, Christ. Christ. Now, what's going to happen when this takes place, this transformation? Well, I can tell you one thing. You'll enjoy life a whole lot more. Being like Jesus, being more like Him. Having His character in your actions. You're going to find so much more fulfillment and peace in life. Secondly, the people around you are going to be happy. You're going to start blessing their lives instead of hurting their lives. All right? If you're an immature Christian, the fact is you're making somebody's life miserable. You're making somebody's life miserable right now. All right? And so change takes place and you begin to be a greater blessing. And then God can use your life more. You're more usable to Him. There's more things that He can assign to you and big tasks that need to be done down here on this earth to partner with Him of helping a broken and a hurting lost humanity. All right. So how does this happen? How does this happen? All right. So it's the Holy Spirit. All right. So when if in the 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, if I would have heard a sermon like this, I would have probably said, okay, I got it. I know how to get a hold of the Holy Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit, I can go to His Word, right? So we should, amen? We should have the Word of God as a daily part of our life. And we talked about that last week. So I can do that. Or two, I can receive His power. I can pray. I can go to a worship service. I can have someone lay hands on me. There be kind of some type of a touch or an experience. Experience the Holy Spirit. And thank God he can be experienced. All right? And so those would be kind of the two avenues that I would look to. And I did. And I still do. All right? But it became certain in my life and apparent. And I talked to you a little bit about this last year at times. But that if the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in my life, where else can I experience him? Where else can I encounter the Holy Spirit? Yes, in the Word. Yes, through prayer. But let's ask ourselves, all right? You know that book, Where's Waldo? And you try to discover him in this drawing. And you say, where is the Holy Spirit today? Where is he? Is he in Lagos? Is he at the AFCON Cup? You know? Where is the Holy Spirit? Anybody? He's in us. He's in us. We are the containers. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So he's in me. But here's the other thing. He's in you. He's in you. Paul said this in the Word of God. He said, you've heard about the grace that was given me. All right, that's through the Holy Spirit. He said, you've heard about the grace that was given me for you. For you. Grace that's in Paul for you. So guess what? If you are disconnected from Paul, then there is a grace for you that you are not experiencing. And I became, and what I had done is I had neglected this area of my life. That there is grace already deposited on this earth in the containers of other Christians. And there is grace for me. There's grace for me. And so what that means is that yes, when there is change, when there is transformation, yes, go to the Word of God. Absolutely, 100%. Get books, get material, get wisdom. All right. Pray, certainly. Seek the Lord. All right. But don't stop there. Reach out to grace-filled Christians. Grace-filled Christians. Now, I didn't say Christians. Grace-filled Christians. Because unfortunately, there are some Christians that are full of anger, bitterness, resentment. And you get around them and that's what squirts out. That's what oozes. My son, whenever he eats garlic, we know about it. It actually comes through his pores, all right? And it whatever kind of a chemical reaction. And my wife will say, Tim, did you eat garlic? Yeah, Mama ate garlic. My wife and my daughter have bionic noses. They can smell kilometers away. For real, they can. What comes out of Christians? And there are Christians all over the world that are full of God's grace for you, full of wisdom. And so what I've begun to discover is, and I'm not talking about trusting in man. I'm not talking about looking to man. No, looking to God, looking to God, looking to his word, praying, but then also reaching out to grace-filled Christians. And I'll just tell you, my life is different. Because God has put us in a wealthy world for our needs to be met. He's put us in a wealthy world. And there are people around you. If you'll knock. Now sometimes you have to knock. And you might find, hello, grace-filled Christian. And you go, oh, sorry, let me get back to you. You're not so grace-filled. Here's a book. I'll come back in 2 years, okay? Or there might be some grace-filled Christians that are too busy. Maybe they've got some issues. But don't, just because you get disappointed by one or two people, don't stop looking. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop asking. Because there are people that if you reach out to, there are answers for your life. There are answers for your life. There is grace for you, friend. There is grace for you. And God is available. God is ready to help you. And the Holy Spirit knows where you are, but he knows where he wants to take you. Amen? He knows where you are, and he knows where he wants to take you. Caesar, can you just come? I want us to just sing that song we sang in praise and worship. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And just where you are right now, would you just close your eyes? Close your eyes. Because the first part of this is to say, you know what, Lord? I want transformation. I want change in my life. I desire that. I desire that. And maybe just pause right now and just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just in a sense, this is just between you and the Lord. But where has light come to you? Where has light come to you? What are you aware of in your life where change needs to take place? And that light may have come through circumstances or pain. That light may have come through the comments of others. But you say, you know what, this has just been going on too long. There needs to be change. There needs to be transformation. All right? And I'm certain we're all human. I'm certain there's some areas. So pick one. Pick one right now and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't need to have a short temper. I don't need to have a loose tongue. I don't need to be irresponsible. Look to the Lord right now. Look to the Lord. And let's just sing this song together. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to be who He wants to be in our life.
Spirit.